Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
How many of you have been following the goings-on in the recently completed U.S. elections? Okay, fair number of you. The rest were not interested. I think it would not be wrong for me to say that many, I think most people all over the world, were watching with bated breath as to the outcome. And I know of at least one a crowd of people who threatened that if the incumbent was elected into office, they would leave America for Canada. Our friends visiting this morning are from Canada. Yeah. And who would be the next president of the United States of America? And the results were, needless to say, stunning and caught a lot of people by surprise. All the so-called experts, pollsters, and pundits were reeling from their shock and disbelief. How did this man called Donald Trump, basically an outsider of the political establishment, win the elections? One analysis by Professor Tommy Koh could well be right, and he was echoing the views of quite a number of others as well. And he identified that there had been a huge disconnect between what is called the ruling elites and the ordinary people. And many people were left behind in the pursuit of globalization and multiculturalism. And they had also failed to recognize how angry the voters, the electorate, had become. And this was true of both parties, Republican and Democratic. And perhaps a sober warning to those of us who are in leadership roles, whatever those may be. And in the quest towards any ideal or perceptibly beneficial goal for everybody, every effort should be made to ensure that no one is left out or left behind. I watched with interest as well how the stock markets and the currency markets reacted to each development. For instance, when there was news of the FBI investigating a fresh trove of emails of one of the candidates, the markets went down. And when news released later that exonerated that candidate, the markets immediately went back up. And when Donald Trump won the presidency, the stock markets went down. But in the last few days, it went up. How interesting. I wonder what the heavily stock markets may have looked like, if there was ever such a thing, when the Son of God became a servant. When Jesus laid aside his glory and majesty and embraced humanity and humility. Let us look together this morning at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. If you have your Bibles with you, could you kindly turn with me to Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11. And I've entitled my message, Are You Christ-like? You can make humility great again. Balling the Trump line, okay? I hope you won't forget this message. Verse 5 says, Philippians 2 verse 5 says, Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. What we see here is an exhortation regarding the expected conduct and behavior of Christians living in this world. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to encourage the Christians at Philippi to live lives that would glorify God. And if you like, how to make God's name great here on earth. And to do so, they were asked to embrace humility, to take the path of humility. Friends, spiritual growth and development in Christ-like humility results in improved relationships with fellow Christians. And this in turn provides a visible and shining witness to all around, like bright shining stars in a sea of darkness. This recommendation about having the attitude of humility may be a bit of a shock to some of our systems. And this was certainly quite missing, I believe, in the race to the White House. Sometimes having such an attitude of humility may even be regarded as impracticable, and yet it is advocated as the way to follow if we are to do well as far as making God's name great is concerned. And for those of you who have just been baptized today, and this is actually a very important reminder as well as to all of us. Verse 5 to 11 is especially instructive as the whole exhortation to humility within the body of Christ is built on this. And we'll be looking at this attitude of Christ's humility in three respects. Firstly, subordination in verse 6, or if you prefer, submission. Secondly, self-denial in verse 7. And thirdly, surrender, verse 8. Subordination, self-denial, and surrender. It is what is called the path of condescension is coming down. First of all, subordination. Verse 6 says, Jesus did not consider equality with God grounds for grasping. In fact, one Bible commentator translated verse 6 as follows. Precisely because he was in the form of God, that is Jesus, he did not consider being equal with God grounds for grasping. I'll say that again. Precisely because he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God grounds for grasping. From here we see the example of Christ's own attitude of letting go as part of his expression of humility before the Father. Contrary to the idea of preserving one's standing or status at whatever cost, Christ's own attitude and ready willingness to assume the lower position speaks of humility. He willingly chose to let go, giving up his intrinsic rights and standing within the Godhead for the Father's sake, for the sake of humanity and the whole of creation, if I may put it that way. Christ's willingness to subordinate himself, that is to take the lower position, can be seen by the fact that though he was still fully God when he became man, he did not cling on to this divine position or privilege. We do not see Jesus insisting on his rights as God. When tested and abused, tortured and mocked at before being killed, we do not see Jesus commanding his angels to intervene to destroy his enemies. Instead, what we see is that he chose to remain in his lowly position as a servant to his Father's will right up to the very end, even death on a cross. Friends, what can we learn from Jesus' act here, his example here? I believe there are at least two aspects we can learn from this attitude of our Lord. First of all, it is in the aspect of giving. Giving freely of ourselves for God and in our service to Him. And this is a very important principle for all of us to learn from Christ's example and to observe. The world actually teaches us to be status conscious all the time. So much so that we can be affected even while we serve God. We want to do something which is important, which we would perhaps calculate to be worthy of our time and efforts. We would probably want to do something which may not inconvenience us too much, and preferably one which would put us in a better light and earn some brownie points or respect from our fellow brothers and sisters along the way. However, from our Lord's example, we see a very different attitude that is at work. Our Lord himself showed self-denial, a letting go of his position and privilege. He freely gave of himself in his service of God and for the sake of others. Such a mindset may not be a natural or instinctive thing for a lot of us to do. For years, worldly attitudes have conditioned us to go and grab instead of to give and being spent for the sake of the gospel and for others. Nonetheless, our Lord gave his life and was spent for our sake and for the sake of others. Secondly, it is in the aspect of choice or the exercise of free will. Now, it is a very natural thing for any of us to choose the easy way to live. Nobody would naturally want to choose a difficult path to walk or one that would cost him his or her very life. Other than perhaps for the sake of exercise, can I ask a question? How many of us would rather choose to walk up a flight of steps when we can take the lift or the elevator? How many of you will walk up a flight of steps? Wow, a few of you, diehards, right? Come to think of it, how many would even walk down a flight of steps when there is an escalator? Did y'all walk up to the third floor today? Praise the Lord. Our very basic instinct, really, is one of self-preservation and comfort, isn't it? Creaturely comfort. If there is ease and effortlessness, why suffer? We protect our own interests and even fight for our rights when threatened. And this basic instinct to choose the easy way is a very strong and determining force in many, if not most, of our decisions. Precisely because, my friends, precisely because of this basic instinct to choose for the sake of self-interest or selfish purposes, our Lord calls us to do exactly the very opposite thing. Amen? Amen? Jesus challenges us by his own example to choose the way of self-denial and renouncing self instead of the easy way which the world calls and commends. Instead of living life the easy way of resorting to divine power, Jesus chose to establish his position amongst his fellow man not as someone to be served, but as an obedient servant of God. Jesus said, I have come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Did not our Lord himself said that he who wants to be the greatest must be the servant of all? What about us? What is our choice? Next slide, please. So I hope that this morning as you come to service, you get the proper idea of what it means. Yeah. We too can make that same choice as our Lord when we start to look at how to meet the needs of others around us rather than to be caught up fighting for our rights or pursuing after our own thing. We can choose to lay aside our rights and privileges. And this is an adage that the YWAMers during their DTS will be strongly, taught, that they have to lay aside, give up their rights and their privileges. And not clinging on to them, but to willingly let go and see in what way we can be used by God to serve others, whether it's within the body of Christ or the world outside. When was the last time we made the effort to visit that someone whom we know is sick? Help that neighbor to babysit, cook for somebody a meal, help someone who is struggling with his or her schoolwork, help some housebound person to run errands, help out a single parent to look after the children. There are lots more we will see we can do if we start taking our eyes off ourselves and to begin to look at the needs around us. Today is as good as any to start, if I may say so, if we have not been doing so already. Now, from the Philippine passage, we see this exhortation through Christ's example to choose to give and to let go rather than to claim and grab. Our status is no doubt that of a child of God, as echoed in the songs we have sung earlier. But it does not follow that we must exploit our privilege as sons and use that as grounds for grasping. Instead, we should be doing the very opposite thing. Precisely because we are children of God, We let go of our claims. We give of ourselves even to become a servant of others and be obedient to God even to the point of death. The spirit, my friends, is one of humility and self-giving. I know that there are many unsung heroes in our midst, faithful, obedient servants of the Lord here in our midst this morning, going about quietly in your own ways, encouraging others, serving behind the scenes, upholding the weak, strengthening the faint-hearted and weary, and lending a helping hand without any fanfare or anybody knowing. But you know what? The Lord knows. And He sees what you are doing. And He takes delight in what you do. He delights in your Christ-like attitude. Keep on shining for Him. Amen? Amen? Subordination, that leads me to my second point, self-denial. Verse 7 says, He emptied Himself. He became a servant, a slave. Christ emptied Himself. What does that mean? This has been the subject of much speculation as to what Christ had emptied Himself of. Was it His glory? Was it His divinity? Was it His power? Was it His position? Well, we need to keep in mind that this passage is actually a song or a poetic construction. And so the phrase, He emptied Himself, could best probably be taken as a figurative expression, since there is no specification in the text as to what substance or essence Jesus had emptied Himself of. For instance, when you say, I give up, what does that mean? You give up your life? You give up your riches? You give up your property? You give up your career? When you say, I give up, what does that mean? It's an expression of an attitude, isn't it? This phrase thus expresses the idea of Christ pouring Himself, putting Himself totally at the disposal of the people. As against the spirit of acquiring, of grabbing, of getting, He put off all thoughts of self and poured out His fullness in order to enrich others. As against those whose attitude of demanding rights and insisting on their own ways, Christ's attitude was one of self-denial. The following phrases, taking on the form of a slave, born in the likeness of human beings and being recognized as a man, expresses how Christ had poured Himself out to others. They qualify the expression, He emptied Himself. Now here also we see something of a bit of a paradox emerging. As we read in the following verse, Christ's self-denial was accomplished by taking. His self-emptying by becoming what He was not before. His pouring, not by subtracting from, but by adding to. In taking on human nature and even the very nature of a servant, the picture of Christ's self-denial is starkly impressed upon us. It is almost unimaginable to think that God would have gone beneath Himself, so to speak, to stoop down so low to become one of us in order to reach us with His love. How many of us have ever thought of becoming a servant of God? A full-time worker, a pastor, whether full-time or part-time? Hands up. Nobody? Not interested to serve God? I'm sure you do in your heart. And if you have a choice, would you prefer to do, let's say, outreach work, God's servant amongst, let's say, country club members, or serve amongst construction workers? What about serving God amongst prostitutes and gangsters? How about being a servant of God amongst folks who love you, who think the world of you, as against those who may lynch you or kill you? The thought of going beneath ourselves is not a very popular idea, my friends. And yet God advocated it when He became one of us and one amongst us. Jesus was not found in king's palaces, but most of the time amongst the very rejects of society, right at the margins of society. And He commends this very same attitude to all who wish to follow Him. The picture of Christ emptying himself by becoming one of us and even becoming a servant in order to save us gives us a rather challenging role model to follow, is it not? We have to ask the question, in what ways have we gone beneath ourselves to serve the Lord in such a self-sacrificing way that it has cost us something, a loss of status, perhaps even a loss of face? For those who have or who are, may I salute you and continue to encourage you to press on for the sake of the Lord who awaits to reward you greatly in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the rest, perhaps there is one thing we may have been challenged by the Lord to be prepared to stoop beneath ourselves in order to follow the path of Christ the servant. It could be as simple as offering to wash the cups after the service or to help out some needy person today. Well, I know of at least one church in Singapore where a person begins to serve by first becoming a member of the church's cleaning team that cleans the toilet, sweeps the floor, and cleans the grounds, regardless of whether he was a company director or an ex-convict. How far will our obedience and self-denial go? Subordination, self-denial, leads me to my third point, surrender. As you can see, it's all going down. And here's a comic of the Apostle Paul. He was so focused on his being a servant of God, he wasn't too bothered by the conditions that he was in. Surrender. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Humility comes before honor. Christ's humility was expressed in costly obedience to the Father's will. Now, you and I know that obedience is not a rather popular virtue these days. Why obey when you can command? Why follow when you can charter your own destiny or even that of others? Some may not see obedience as a virtue. This is because it is often equated with weakness. An obedient person is often portrayed as one who would never offend anybody because he or she is powerless to do so. He will always seek to be nice to everybody because he's afraid to stand up for his beliefs. An obedient person may even be seen as somebody who has a problem with low self-esteem, needs inner healing, a low self-image, in short, a weak person, a weakling. However, the obedience of Christ is very much different. It springs from a source of strength, a position of power and security. It is not weak. In fact, it requires great faith and trust, not unlike the words of the song we sang earlier just now. That while the ocean waves may be over us, you know, but we continue to trust. And it is from a position of security, of assurance, that we are His and He is ours. I'm yours and you are mine. We sang those words. It is from that position of strength, my friends, that we are able to trust and to obey God. Amen? Amen? Christ-like obedience speaks of that ability to endure patiently and ever trusting God, even under great pressure and the prospects of a cruel and painful death. Can I ask you a question? How many of you think that you are generally humble and obedient? Hands up. It's a trick question anyway. So none of you are humble because you won't admit to it. If you admit to it, you're no longer humble because you're showing off, right? So it's a trick question. But if you have been commended by your spiritual leaders as somebody who is humble and obedient, well, that's a good thing. They are not insulting you or being sarcastic. Rather, they are encouraged by that wonderful spirit, that wonderful virtue that they see in you, which our Lord Himself exemplified. So if somebody comes to you and says, wow, I'm really inspired by your obedience. You're such an obedient person. It's a good thing. Thank the Lord for that. Yeah. This very ability to obey, to trust and to endure patiently, to be long-suffering under trying circumstances, bears witness to our growth in Christ's likeness. God commends such an attitude. And it's the right sort of attitude that we could be commending one another, encouraging each other by. You know, oftentimes we are quick to say, wow, that's a great job. We are very affirming in those ways. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when we say, wow, you're very obedient, we're not quite sure how to accept such an encouragement, right? Oftentimes that's the case. But this is the sort of attitude that God commends. I know we are not amongst those who are very inclined to be obedient, because sometimes when, you know, we are perhaps the sort who like to question everything. If the pastor or the church leader should ask us for something, we'll probably ask why, or reply with an escape clause such as, let me think about it, or let me pray about it. It's a polite way of saying, really, I'm not interested. I'm not going to follow what you're going to ask me to do. And some of us may think that we are not like that at all. But just watch what comes to mind when the next time a request is made, such as, come and join the church together once a month for the prayer and praise on the 25th of November, one evening in a month. Yeah. And what would your reaction be? You read the notices just now, right? 25th November, Friday night. You probably have something else, right? Oh, what if the leaders should say, come and participate in the Christmas outreach program. We need male singers and so on. Say, well, you know, let the other person sing. I don't want to sing. I'm sure you're not a grumbler or naysayer. And if that's the case, praise be to God. You have a Christ-like attitude. Well, friends, we are all growing in obedience. And God expects us to do so. Don't stop only at our baptism, those who are baptized today. It's a lifelong journey. Somebody actually coined this phrase. It was Eugene Peterson quoting Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You see, Dietrich Bonhoeffer actually was asked the question, what is discipleship? And Dietrich Bonhoeffer's response was, discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. Discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. That is what discipleship is. That is what it means to follow Christ, my friends. The Christ hymn in Philippians 2 presents Jesus as the supreme example of humility. God becoming man. The Son becoming a servant. And if we were to look at the latter verses of this passage in verse 9 to 11, we will find what is called exaltation. So first there was subordination, self-denial, surrender. The path was one of going downwards, of condescension. In verses 9 to 11, what we see is exaltation. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So my friends, that is the path that Jesus invites all of us to take, to walk the path of humility in order that he may raise us up. He who seeks to be first will be last, and the last will be first. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, for he will lift you up in due course. Subordination, self-denial, and surrender. These, my friends, characterize the attitude of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he left the glories of heaven to become a servant here on earth. Recently, I was involved in the planning and organization of the Global South Conference in Cairo. I was there for about 2.5 months. As the director of missions himself joked that I was the Singapore's National Day gift to Cairo. I went there on the 9th of August. I was there. And boy, it was a pretty steep learning curve for me in many ways. May I take this opportunity to thank those of you who had kept my wife Deborah and I in prayer. Basically, learning to work with the local staff and volunteers was quite an experience in itself, coming from Singapore, the way we work here, so to speak. Yeah? Not to mention the several occasions that I also had to sort out some rather difficult matters with some of the eminent delegates that were there. The lesson from Philippians 2 was a constant reminder for me. This is one of my favorite passages, by the way. I had to walk the talk. have to be constantly reminded every morning, every day, to deny myself, to surrender, and to do the things that God wants me to do. As Deborah and I prepare to move over to Egypt in a few weeks' time, we fly off on the 28th of November. In obedience to God's call, basically, we are only too mindful of the need for us to continue to walk the talk in the midst of various challenges we can expect to encounter. Of course, first of all, crossing cultures, leaving the familiar to go into what is unfamiliar. From what can be considered to be a relatively safe place and secure, where there are, into where there are dangers and uncertainties. We receive regularly updates from the Singapore Embassy in Egypt, reminding us of certain dangers. There are also sociological adjustments to make, as well as church and work culture adjustments, besides language, food, living conditions, and etc. And I'll be working under an Egyptian bishop for the first time in my life, so to speak, and with both Egyptian and international staff. Secondly, having to leave behind loved ones and friends. Sometimes I do wonder why we have to leave my 77-year-old mother, who is in a nursing home, and then my mom's only child, as well as our daughter Sarah. We just have to trust the Lord that He will take care of them. And if I may so humbly prevail upon some of you, perhaps to give them a look in, I'll be most grateful. And do, if you feel so led, do see Deborah or I after the service. We'll be more than happy to meet with you and to explain to you how you might be able to help out. Thirdly, what the Lord has in store for us. For a start, I'll be pastoring at St. Mark's Church in Maynooth, which is located on the compound of the Harper Memorial Hospital. And it provides chaplaincy services to the staff, both the international and the local, and others. I'm also tasked to provide pastoral care to another congregation in another hospital by the same name, Harper Memorial Hospital, in Sadat City as well, which is an hour's drive away from Maynooth. I've also been asked to raise up, mentor and raise up four others to become leaders for the work in these two locations, amongst several other things. Some people have asked me the question, next slide please, are you COOS missionaries or diocesan missionaries? Well, the answer to that is that we are both. We are both COOS missionaries and diocesan missionaries. The Diocese of Egypt and the Diocese of Singapore, what you call companion dioceses. So I'm simply being seconded across over to them to work with them. And we are supported by Church of Our Savior. Church of Our Savior is our sending church. And as your missionaries and that of our diocese, may we humbly ask for your prayers as we move, settle and serve there. And on Saturday the 19th of November, which is what this slide is about, on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., we'll be sharing in greater detail as to what the work in Egypt will be involved in entails. And this will be held at St. John's Chapel at Farrer Road, where St. Margaret Secondary School is. Not Farrer Park, please kindly take note. I was told to mention that because some people in the past, when they say Farrer Road, they went to Farrer Park. So, Farrer Road, okay? Please say to the person next to you, Farrer Road. Thank you. St. John's Chapel, St. Margaret Secondary School, Farrer Road. And the school has a fair number of car park lots, so for those of you who are driving, it's quite easy, and it's located next to the Farrer Road MRT station. Okay. Next slide, please. There were some items, ceramic artwork and paintings by our church members and friends from COOS and elsewhere have donated for fundraising purposes. There's also some craft work from the School of the Deaf from Egypt. That we have also brought back to avail. So may we invite you to join us and to come and hear and prayerfully consider how you may be able to participate. In conclusion, may I say that in Jesus we see the perfect example of humility. Through the giving of His own life, He has given life to us and to all who would receive Him and believe in His name. Amen. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God, born again. As I invite the music team to come up, the worship team to come up, let's continue to just think of what Christ has done for us. Christ has given Himself to us. What have we given him in return? Have we most importantly of all given ourselves to him? Christ has shown us the way he wants us to walk. The path of humility involves a letting go and letting God of subordination, of submission, of self-denial, of surrender. Are you Christ-like? Embrace humility. Take its path. And you can make humility great again. May we always find in our hearts, in ourselves, that same spirit to seek to grow into the Christ-like attitude of humility. Nobody is perfect. We all come short. We all make mistakes. And let us not judge each other in that regard. But let's seek how we may encourage each other by our own walk and our own quest along this path of humility. May we reflect his glory more and more and be his faithful servants all the days of our lives here on earth until we enter into his everlasting glory. Amen. May we pray. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you, as we present ourselves before you, may I invite the whole congregation to kindly stand, please. Lord, you know our hearts. You know what we are made of. But we also know, Lord, that you who have begun this good work in us, you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1. And that you call us, Lord, to rejoice in you always, in every circumstance. And not to be anxious for anything. Help us, Lord, each day as we wake up, as we live our lives here on earth, that we would embrace the path of humility, to take the way that Jesus took, so that as we follow him down this path of subordination, of self-denial, of surrender, that you will eventually take us up along your path into your everlasting glory. Help us to glorify you here on earth, to make your name here great on earth by making humility great again. Help us, Lord, each day to let go and to let God reign and rule in our hearts, in our thoughts, in all our choices and decisions. So we invite you, Lord Jesus, to be the center of our hearts, to be the center of our lives, to be the center of our church. We pray all this in your mighty name, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Sing this together.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. Every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, it's all about you. And we know, Lord, that you're with us every step of the way. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us, who transforms us, who renews us, who strengthens us, who empowers us, who guides us, who directs us. Help us, Lord, to follow in your path, led by your Spirit. Led by your Spirit, not by our flesh, but led by your Spirit every day. And we pray, Father, especially for those who have just been baptized this morning, that you continue to lead them by your Spirit. Fill them with your Spirit every day. Transform them, renew them, refresh them, guide them, and form Christ in them. Bless them to be your blessing. And I pray, Father, that even today as we go forth from here, your presence be with us, remain with us. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to keep our hearts and our minds on Christ Jesus. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and with our loved ones near and far, this day and always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week ahead. Thank you.